Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church's podcast, where every week we bring you the scripture and sermon from Sunday's worship. We are an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we strive to be a place where all are welcomed and made to feel at home. We're members of the Presbyterian Church USA and are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastor, Dr. Whitney Baer. Please join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen now for God's living word. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. For he is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Our second reading this morning comes from Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 21. Let us listen for God's word to us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circles of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely they are planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me, or to whom is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Back in my 20s, I used to spend a good portion of my free time running. I would run 3 or 4 miles a few times a week, year round, and I absolutely loved it. In fact, throughout college and seminary, I thrived on it. It was my stress relief. It was my chance to get away. But it also provided me with an opportunity for quiet and for reflection. I would often set out for a run with a particular destination in mind, and of course, I had my favorite routes. When I was in college, as a student at Lees McRae in the mountains of Banner Elk, it was Wildcat Lake. I would run the back way through campus, across the old dam, and up the winding mountain road until I reached the lake. I would then make my way to the dock and sit down at the end, dangling my feet over the edge, catching my breath, soaking in my surroundings. The best time to be there was in the fall, with the trees surrounding the lake all bursting with color and reflecting off the water. During those same years, I spent my summers on summer staff in Montreat, also in the mountains. There, I would often wake up early and run to the gate and back, but my favorite run, when I had a little more time, was to go up past Assembly Inn and continue the steep climb to the foot of Graybeard Trail, where the wildlife sanctuary was. There was a pond there with a huge ceiling of leafy green trees. What I loved most was to lie on my back on one of those benches along the pond's edge, exhausted from that steep climb, and stare up at the blue sky peeking through the trees. I can blink, and although it's been years, I can immediately go back to those special moments in those sacred places and remember what it felt like to soak in God's creation. Those places always felt like my own little piece of holy ground. There's just something about the beauty of creation, isn't there? That it stops us in our tracks, that it moves us, that it speaks to us. There are many who claim that they feel closest to God when they are in nature. And I would agree that being in the midst of God's amazing creation is surely a powerful reminder of who God is. I think during those tumultuous college years, when I struggled, as all college students do, to figure out who I was and who I wanted to be, there was so much comfort in those runs, because while immersed in that beauty, I was reminded of the God I knew and loved, who knew and loved me. The Israelites, in our scripture lesson for today, whom the prophet Isaiah is addressing, are in need of such a reminder. They were exiles, and their captivity in Babylon was awful. They were forced from their homes and became refugees from the land that was supposed to hold promise for them. They longed for Jerusalem. They wept by the rivers of Babylon. They felt powerless, and they even observed their young people growing weary and falling exhausted. Therefore, and understandably so, they felt, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God." They felt forgotten. It would have made sense if they had concluded that the gods of Babylon were stronger than their God, or even that God did not really exist at all. But no, their conclusion was that they were disregarded by God. The Israelites had forgotten their story. They had forgotten the promises of God, the God who loved them, the God who cared for them. They had forgotten God's presence among them and God's promise to always be with them. Weighed down by their time in exile and the immense struggles they faced, they had forgotten who they are and whose they are, the one who is the very source of their strength. So Isaiah pleads with them. This from the Message translation. "Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Haven't you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand the foundation of all things? God sits high above. The people look like mere ants. God stretches out the skies like a canvas. Yes, like a canvas to live under." Isaiah continues, "So who is like me? Who can hold a candle to me, says the Holy One? Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all of this? Who marches this army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls them each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and yet never overlooks a single one?" You might already know this if you read my Advent devotional this year, but some of my fondest memories as a child were during the week each summer my family would spend out at Emerald Isle at the beach. Of being out on the deck with my dad at night listening to the ocean and looking up at the stars. The stars always seemed so bright out there at the ocean's edge as they stretched endlessly across the sky. I can remember sitting there thinking, as maybe 9 or 10 years old, thinking how in comparison to the vastness of the ocean and the vastness of the stars, how tiny and small I was. Deborah Hasma, an expert on galaxies and on astronomy, when she makes a presentation for adult education classes, will conclude her talk by showing a slide of a typical night sky. On one part of the picture, there's an area of the sky that appears empty. There are stars all around, but some parts of the sky don't contain any visible stars. So she zooms in on one of those seemingly blank patches of darkness and then superimposes on top of it what the Hubble Space Telescope sees in that dark patch when its magnification is great. What the picture reveals always draws a gasp from all who see it. Because in that seemingly empty part of the night sky, the telescope photograph shows hundreds and hundreds of not stars, but whole galaxies. And since each galaxy may contain upwards of a billion stars, it soon becomes apparent that even in those seemingly blank parts of the night sky, it's actually a cluster of stars that numbers in the trillions. As a young child, I knew I was quite small in comparison to the stars. As an adult with this information, I know this even more so to be true. Isaiah begins by proclaiming that the God of Israel is also the creator of the universe, the God of the nations, by asking the questions, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" It's clear that this is not new information for the Israelites. Isaiah is pleading with them, "Don't you remember the story?" It's knowledge that they have had from the beginning. It's the knowledge of God's work in history and in the life of the people. The Israelites once knew this all so well, but they had forgotten. So Isaiah continues by proclaiming the power of God, who is above rulers and princes, and who created all the stars across the sky, even the ones our eyes cannot see. But that's just the irony, writes one commentator. Every time the Bible wows us with the grandeur of God and the magnitude of God's never-ending creation, we are immediately told that this same God uses this same almighty power in the service of attending to us, to our lives, to all that we do. No matter how vast the universe, no matter how awesome and almighty our great God is, none of it gets in the way of God's tender regard for each and every one of us. God even knows our names. "Do you not know?" Isaiah asks again and again. "Do you not know?" Well, knowing this isn't always obvious. A glance into the night sky would not lead us to conclude that we matter so much to God that he worries about the things that worry us. But that's where the revelation of Scripture comes in. It tells us so many wonderful things, not the least of which is that we matter, that we are loved. This reminds me so much of the beloved Dr. Seuss book, Horton Hears a Who. On the 15th of May, in the jungle of Nul, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the pool, he was splashing, enjoying the jungle's great joys, when Horton the elephant heard a small noise. So Horton stopped splashing. He looked toward the sound. "That's funny," thought Horton. "There's no one around." Then he heard it again, just a very faint yelp, as if some tiny person were calling for help. "I'll help you," said Horton. "But who are you and where?" He looked and he looked. He could see nothing there but a small speck of dust blowing past through the air. "I say," murmured Horton, "I've never heard tell of a small speck of dust that is able to yell." "So you know what I think? Why, I think there must be someone on top of that small speck of dust. Some sort of creature of very small size, too small to be seen by an elephant's eye. Some poor little person who's shaking with fear that he'll blow in the pool. He has no way to steer. I'll just have to save him, because after all, a person's a person, no matter how small." So gently and using the greatest of care, the elephant stretched his great trunk through the air, and he lifted the dust speck and carried it over and placed it down safe on a very soft clover. The prophet Isaiah continues, "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, O Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God is the creator of all that you can see or imagine. God doesn't get tired, doesn't pause to catch God's breath. And God knows everything, inside and out. To which I would add, including each one of us. We are loved and our lives do matter, from the youngest of us to the oldest. God knows each one of us by name. God knows each one of us uniquely and well through and through. If and when we feel disregarded by our God, it is not that God has forgotten us. Rather, just like the Israelites, we've forgotten our story, the story of God's unending love, the story we know in Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For it is you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the light was the light of all people. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son. His Son who says, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Through Jesus, we know and can fully trust that God knows us. Living and breathing, weeping and rejoicing, loving and feeding, teaching and healing, even dying. Through Jesus, we can be confident that God knows us fully and well. God knows the burdens we bear and the worries that overwhelm us. God knows and God cares for you, for me, for each one of us. It's what we claim when one passes through the waters of baptism, and it's what we reclaim for ourselves each and every time we gather here in this place and feast at this table. We are God's own. God loves us. God cares for us. God journeys with us, sharing in our joys, wiping away our tears, and holding us fast. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. He strengthens the powerless. Even youths faint and grow weary. The young fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To God be all glory and honor now and always. Amen.